August 8th, 2008, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
It is episode 62 of the Lullabot Drupal podcast. We get together every few weeks and talk about Drupal. This week on the podcast, we've got a really great interview with a couple of blogger people. We've got Merlin Mann, a general internet celebrity, and the proprietor of 43folders.com, as well as You Look Nice Today, which is not Drupal, but hilarious, and several other websites that we'll mention a little bit later, as well as John Armstrong, who runs Deuce, D-O-O-C-E.com, for his wife, Heather Armstrong, who's the driving force behind that website, and also Ben Durbin, who... kind of the tech guy, helped both of them to kind of do their Drupal thing, and does a lot of work on a lot of different things. So I've got James Walker here. Hello, James.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome.
We wanted to do a couple of quick announcements before the podcast. First of all, probably the big thing that we mentioned on the last podcast, it's still big, and now it's actually active. Registration is now open for Lullabot's first full-scale, large-scale event, the Do It With Drupal seminar. That's a 3-day seminar happening December 10th through the 12th in New Orleans. You can find out more information about that at doitwithdrupal.com. And we've got like an early rate kind of thing. First 100 registrants get a special super discount rate, and they're going fast. So go there. Do that. You have anything to add, James?
I do, yeah. Just to encourage people to either sign up for the RSS feed or the newsletter or something, because we are sort of actively adding speakers and all kinds of scheduling information and stuff. So, check out the site, doitwithdrupal.com, and stay in touch.
Yeah, if you've been to our workshops, this is different. It's bigger. It's all-star. There's fireworks and other explosions.
Might be explosions.
Hopefully no explosions. But you can go to doitwithdrupal.com and find out all about it. It's going to be a big, big, cool thing with lots of people come and meet people and stuff like that. And then we've got the tried and true, always wonderful workshops. We've got one coming up in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, we do. September 15th to the 19th, we'll be doing our combo week of theming and jQuery, and then module API and development stuff. So, basically if Do It With Drupal, the seminar is targeted at, sort of beginners and people new to Drupal. These workshops would be great for people who are sort of knee deep in Drupal and looking for that extra bump into ninja stardom.
We've also got our DVDs. Understanding Drupal is the first DVD from Lullabot, and we've got them in stock finally. We were selling just the video download for a while as we were waiting for the DVDs to come in stock. They're now in stock. Find out about those, lullabot.com, like everything here. And then one last announcement. DrupalCon is happening in Szeged, Hungary, August 27th through the 30th, and you can find out about that at drupalcon.org. If you haven't been to a DrupalCon before, I recommend it, particularly if you are in the greater European area.
Yeah, even if you're not, I mean, they're great chances to get out and just meet Drupal developers, hang out, talk about, what Drupal's going to do next and how you'd like to help or...
Put some faces with the names in the IRC channel and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, let's get to this interview. We've got Merlin Mann, John Armstrong, and Ben Durbin talking about their experiences with Drupal. Hi, guys. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on. This is fun. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm excited too.
Let's start by matching the voices of the people with the names of the people. We'll start with A for John Armstrong.
Hello, I'm John Armstrong.
And that's John Armstrong's voice. John, you how would you introduce yourself? Should you be, for instance, on a podcast and want to introduce yourself?
I would probably best describe myself as my wife's bitch. I make sure that her site works and that that anything she needs, I pretty much need to take care of immediately. That's kind of how we work it over here.
And your wife is Heather Armstrong, who does the Deuce.com, DOOCE.com, hugely popular blog.
Yeah.
And M for Merlin Mann.
Hi, Jeff. I'm Merlin. I do 43 Folders. It's one of my sites that's on Drupal. I have a couple other ones, but I'm a big Drupal nerd. And thanks in great part to your help. Now I love it.
You have like 18,000 different websites.
Actually, since we started recording a few minutes ago, I now have 19,500.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
So probably cut this a little short if we can. Yeah.
And Ben Durbin.
Hey, how's it going?
The man behind the men.
In more ways than one.
In all ways. Yeah, I'm an independent software developer and based out of San Francisco, and I sort of fell into Drupal a lot through working on these guys' sites, getting their blogs transitioned from one platform to another.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see. We've got the Drupal sites on the list are deuce.com, 43folders.com. Merlin, the first Drupal site I saw for you was the Merlin Show, right?
Believe it or not, the very first day that I installed Drupal, I don't even know if you know about this, Jeff, years ago, just for fun, I put up, I want to have a project that I never went through with to get as many people who, musician friends of mine, as many as they could to cover I Am a Cinematographer by Palace as a power pop song.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of never came to fruition. I got a few random attempts, but that was my very first site. It's actually still out there somewhere in a probably horribly compromised state. But yeah, I think the first big one was probably the Merlin Show. Ben really did all the heavy lifting on getting that up and kind of was site zero, if I remember correctly, was kind of site zero for both of us in trying to use Drupal in any kind of a serious way.
And then we also sort of crossed trajectories at one point on the Rens website, Rens.com, right? Which is also Drupal now.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of became this kind of like this Fagin of indie rock bands for a while, where I'd go around and gather people who had, you know, useless websites that they couldn't update, and I would try and, you know, I never could do much for folks in terms of design because I don't really have that skill, but my goal whenever I tried to help somebody with that was to at least get them into some kind of a system where if they met a smart friend or somebody who didn't have my disabilities could help them make it into something better. So for a lot of folks, Drupal becomes this great first step for kind of not only normalizing, but for getting all of your data into some kind of a CMS where you can do any variety of things with it. And yeah, Rens is definitely one of those.
Cool. And then I guess we should also mention, so we've done some work with Leo Laporte on Twit and the Twit network, and you do the Mac Break podcast, right? And that's also hosted on Drupal, although not your site per se, but that's also Drupal as well for people who are keeping score of Drupal sites here. So what are you all like? Do you all have computer science backgrounds? I mean, what the hell qualifies you people to be on the web?
I have several CS degrees from different universities. I have one where it's really mostly about my robotics background. But no, I think most of us probably are English majors, and it was
liberal arts.
There are. It's, for me, I go back to like PHP Nuke and stuff like that, and I've had an interest for a long time, even before blogs became popular. I was very interested in open source CMSs, and for the longest time, personally, I just kind of dialed out because they were so hard to use, and they were, I mean, with all respect, they were so ugly. And it wasn't until Drupal maybe 4 that I was like, wow, this is really doable now. This is something, in other words, it was the first stuff that I was willing to be paid to make for somebody because it was so not ugly.
Mm. Yeah. Well, but all of your sites, I think, 43 Folders and Deuce, in particular, blogging oriented sites, started out on other platforms, right? What was the sort of migration, where did you come from with those? Movable type? Was it Deuce was on movable
type? Yeah, Deuce, and it took me some arm twisting to get her to even go to movable type. She was hand-coding pages.
Hand-coding pages. That is old school.
Yeah.
That was before we called it blogging.
Well, actually...
I have a journal.
And she actually referred to it as her log for a while.
There you go.
Not a blog, but just a log. And that's she's a designer by trade, and so that, and now of course a writer. But she was hand coding the pages, and I think all of us who kind of lived through that first .com wave, I worked at a Red Herring, and they spent seven figures at least on, I think, three different content management systems and the developers to support them. This was in like late 90s. And then I saw that as sort of, there's no way you can, I mean, hand coding is really the only way to go. And then I had my own little site that I did around the same time, actually, as Heather's. And so I knew what that meant to hand code, you know, build archive pages and all that. And then about 6 months after, or 7 months after I started and Heather started, movable type came out, and I jumped on that pretty quickly and tried to convince Heather she needed to move to that, and she refused. And then she took a hiatus for a while. We got married, and then she started blogging again. And I think in December of 2002, early 2003, she finally pulled the trigger on movable type. And one of the things that happened quickly was she got a lot of comments. And so we sort of, even that early, began to bump up against some scaling issues in terms of user feedback and discussion areas or comment areas.
And then, Merlin, you were on WordPress, is that right?
It's actually kind of interesting because I started 43 Folders in 2004 on TypePad, very specifically because I have, I don't know if you're aware of this, I occasionally have attention issues. And for years, every blog I had, you know, movable type, and I'd sit there and I'd fiddle with the CSS, and I'd sit there and edit the code, and I'd go, oh, well, no, I want to change this to do this thing, and I'd fiddle. And originally, the whole reason I started 43 Folders in the way that I did was to focus on making things and to really say, like, I want to produce non-meta work on a regular basis. And so that's why I went to TypePad, specifically because it kept me focused on that. The problem
to just focus on just the content and not get all caught up in the...
I mean, I could, if I chose to, I could sit there. I mean, for better or for worse at the time, I don't know how much has changed, but at the time, TypePad was a pain in the ass to change if you wanted to have sidebars. There were hacks that you could do. You couldn't, like, create an ad hoc page. I mean, it was a blog, and that was it. It was a blog, and there was a sidebar, and maybe you could put books in. But, you know, it was something where you really had to push the envelope in an almost iWeb kind of way to do anything with it. But then eventually, as the site really caught on, and unfortunately, with all respect, as TypePad was having some serious scaling issues, I moved to WordPress. And eventually got a
hosted WordPress. Hosted it yourself, right?
Well, initially on a shared server, and then on a dedicated server.
As opposed to using WordPress.com.
That's correct. Right. That's correct. Yeah. And the main reason I went to Drupal, I mean, I'm carrying on here, but the main reason I went to Drupal at that point was just there's a lot more flexibility and stuff I wanted to try that WordPress is good at. But in my experience, anytime you start doing stuff with WordPress involving registered users, at least at the time, it gets pretty complicated and hard to manage. So came to Drupal.
So I guess the question just for both of you, John and Merlin in particular, how do you see that these sites got so popular? I mean, both of them are sort of, both 43 Folders and Deuce are in their own realms, certainly in different realms, but I mean, they are what I would call sort of important landmarks on the web. How do you think you got to that level of, I guess ultimately it comes down to traffic and, you know, popularity.
Yeah, I think in the case of Heather, though, she's a great writer and tells a great story, and I think that's appealing. I think the other thing to note, and I was going to say this earlier, is that a couple of things. One, I don't want to sound like I'm bagging on movable type, because that really helped us start our business life, and we began to see that we could, at some point, if things continued, we could probably turn Deuce into a business entity. And we stuck it out with movable type really as long as we could until it was clear we needed a more robust kind of system. And I think what makes Heather popular is she's attractive, she's funny, and smart. And she's also a great photographer, a good designer, great designer, and a great writer. So she's like this triple threat. And I also think that once we had our daughter, Lita, the interest in her writing as a new mom exploded. That was really when the traffic had a big, big leap. So that was in 2004. And so that whole year, 2004, 2005, those were very big traffic years for her. And I think that interest, and I think also the term or the notion of mother's blogging became kind of, that marked the ascendancy of that as well. Heather rode that kind of, that wave along with other people.
Yeah. And Merlin, where do you think your popularity comes from?
Well, I mean, in the right places, but also have top 10 lists and pictures of hot chicks, which helps a lot.
Yep, yep.
And but I've had good luck with that. I also, you know, I'm very heavily involved in a number of social networks, and I issue a lot of white papers. So that's something people seem to like.
People love white papers, yes.
Yeah, you know, if you friend me, I'll send you a white paper I'm working on.
And that would on the LinkedIn network.
Yeah, actually LinkedIn
business networks. Either. Keep it business-like, yes, certainly.
No, but I think it was a matter of just talking about a topic at the right time. I mean, this is kind of off topic of Drupal, but I think that some of the very common DNA between Deuce and my site is whether you like us or not, you know the voice. And I think that that's something people like. I think that it's kind of almost an old-fashioned. I mean, the sites like Deuce and my site are starting to feel downright old-fashioned because really, you know, you can choose to like it or not like it in a given day, but it's one person's fairly unfiltered view of the world. Neither of us is, I think, trying overtly to generate traffic for any reason other than, you know, this is what we had to say today, which I think is, if I could say, kind of refreshing at this point. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things we should talk about is all the stuff that hasn't worked for me and things where, at least for me, I don't know what you... Actually, I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about that too, John, because I know we all struggle with getting the mix of this stuff right. And
well, the thing on this podcast is that we talk a lot about the technical stuff behind Drupal, but it seems like what's driven both of your sites in particular is the content. It's not so much about the technical stuff, and it's easy to forget that it's sort of in the realm of Drupal, that it's like, you know, you can put a lot of dressing on it, you can put a lot of technical stuff behind it, but really it's about the content.
I think one of the things that, as sort of the person who's in charge of making sure that Heather can publish when she wants and publish what she wants when she wants, I wanted to have a system for her that was pretty bulletproof and scaled really well. And also, if we decide down the road to say, I don't know, not that we will, but if we want to add community elements, and I think that was one of the things that in seeing Merlin's migration to 43 folders, we were at a conference, I think, in September of last year. It was about a year ago. And I talked to Merlin about Drupal because I had sort of been following it for years as a possibility, and it was always on the list. But I think in Heather's case, what really pushed it this time was two things. One was seeing someone who was a peer be able to successfully and beautifully migrate and really expand his site using this tool. And then the other part of it was she wanted to post bigger images. And to do the custom template work in movable type would have I was already pushing that system as far as I knew how.
Wow.
In terms of – I mean, there was a bunch of logic in the templates and stuff, and it was really hacky, and I don't know that, and I'm going to maybe throw a bomb here, but I don't know that CGI is meant to handle, you know, hundreds and thousands of comments on a given post. I think that's more suited to a database, a faster language or something, or a more dynamic language.
Well, I think most blogging software is sort of written for, aimed at the middle of the road of blogging, which you guys are both sort of pushing the edges of, I think.
I would agree with that. I wanted something that was flexible, and there's other tools out there, but Drupal's free. And also, I mean, and this is really probably why I wanted to do this podcast more than anything else, was to say that we had an amazing set of people that we worked with, and Ben was one of those people. And Ben handled a lot of the migration issues, like, but I mean, it was, hey, we want to make sure we keep our old URL structure for the old content so the links still work, but it links into the new site so that I'm not maintaining, you know, static HTML pages and a dynamic site, and Ben knew how to do that.
Right.
I mean, that was like, plus we were posting to both systems, and Merlin, I don't know if you did this, but Heather was still posting in movable type, and then Ben would go and migrate the database over to Drupal, you know, every few days or whatever.
Ben does things. Ben's like the Jean-Claude Van Damme of Python.
Oh, yeah.
The stuff that he does with Python is freaky. And I hate to, I don't hate to turn this into a Ben advertisement, because he's literally the consigliere for my entire tech world. And if you people start hiring him, like, I will kill you, because I want him to have the business, but he's saved my bacon like 14 times a week. But I think it's worth saying, just as a quick aside, I think it's worth saying that if you're starting from scratch, obviously it always helps to have somebody experienced helping you. But the thing is, we're talking about some more sophisticated stuff than a lot of folks are going to run into. Yes, it would be nice if somebody came up with a really bulletproof, like super redundant, data safe script that could translate all your stuff from WordPress into Drupal. That's going to be hard, though, because if you hack on WordPress and you add custom fields, mm-hmm. I just have to imagine that this is not something that's ever going to have a completely dependable one-size-fits-all solution. But just to follow up also on what John said, I totally agree. I mean, regardless of any one feature that I thought was neat about Drupal, I have never had anything but really high level of confidence that the data is safe and everything about Drupal is, as much as possible, crazy well abstracted. And I didn't get that 100% with any other blog thing I've done. Hmm. So kind of what Jeff Veen talks about in publishing, this kind of three-legged stool, what does he call it? You've got like your content, you got the appearance, and then you've got the engine that runs it. And Drupal, to my understanding, abstracts that in a way that is really, really super cool. And as of like 5, the stuff that you can do with views and the stuff Ben's doing now with views and theming and panels, it's, you know, this is the kind of thing that Maya.com paid millions of dollars for in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's fine. I had a little jokey post on Twitter about this, that if I'd had Drupal 5 in 1997, you'd all be working for me now. You know? of course, everybody would have Drupal 5, so we'd all be working for everybody else. But I guess I just want to say that for folks who are thinking about it, a little bit of planning will take you a long way in Drupal. Having a smart Sherpa like Ben or Jeff to guide you is critical if you're trying to do this at any kind of scale.
No question.
This is not like, oh, I'm just going to sit down after 4 beers in MySQL and try and make this happen. Like, don't even do that. Because the other thing that Ben did...
It's really easy to get WordPress and movable type set up. You know, it's good. It's a good way to get going fast. And, I mean, moving, particularly migrating to Drupal is a difficult process. But just sort of, I mean, would you recommend that people start with Drupal for blogging? I mean...
I think it's getting there. I mean, it's the default theme was a Garland or Minelli. Those aren't bad. I mean, they can hold things, and I think the one limitation I think from getting started is if you want to do photos, that can be a bit of a challenge. Like if you wanted to make a photo blog.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say absolutely not. If I were meeting somebody who was like, hey, you know, I've got a lot of neat ideas about this thing I want to do and I want to start a blog, I would say probably go to WordPress.com because it's a good mix of features in a nice interface. The stuff Zeldman did with the interface on the new WordPress is beautiful. I mean, it's not fundamentally different in terms of functionality, but it looks really good. It works pretty well. And I think for people who want to do blog posts and use things like potentially XML RPC and stuff like that, that's all you need. And the nice thing about WordPress, and again, like, I'm a huge fan of Six Apart. They're some of my favorite people in the world, so I would never want to say anything against them. But the kind of developer community that you saw around movable type in, you know, 2003 is very much alive around WordPress and Drupal right now. So I think one of the realities is that you tend to follow the community. And right now, oh my God, so I just bought a ton of really cool templates from this dude. What's his name? There's this one dude that makes all these great like magazine templates for WordPress. You're laughing, but I mean, like, if you just want to like have like a 4-person blog about baseball, you know, you could just go set that up in WordPress in like an afternoon.
Uh-huh.
So I agree with you, Jeff. I think it helps to have a priest if you're going to be like really trying to do some serious exorcism. But, you know, if I don't know. I'm not sure Drupal's for everybody. It's a little – also Drupal is a little fussy if you just need a
– So in that case, so you're – we're saying, okay, WordPress if you're doing blogging. But you guys are doing blogging. So what –
That's not the whole picture, though. That's
The whole picture? Let's draw the whole picture for people. I mean, why are you using Drupal? What are the parts of Drupal that you feel like are the more parts for you? And how's that working?
I would say the first thing is flexibility in. Heather likes to monitoring comments is a bit of a hassle, especially when you have 500 or you know whatever. On a post. So Heather likes to turn those on and off kind of at will. Not every post has comments. And that's not a big deal. Every blogging platform, sort of publishing platform does that. But what you get with Drupal is some really sophisticated caching and the ability to handle surges and heavy loads.
Well, you should mention your recent experience.
So, right, which, nice little segue there. Heather... I don't know if she'll ever do this again, but Nintendo approached her and said, "Hey, we've got some Wii's to give away. Do you want to have a giveaway?" And she was like, "Great, I'll do a reader appreciation thing and I'll give them away and we'll have it. The entry is by comment. So, and then my mom will just pick 5 random comment numbers based on the number of comments. And I figured we'd get maybe 10,000, maybe 10,000. And that would be, and this was over a 2-day period. And I was wrong. which led to some frantic phone calls and IMs and everything between Ben and you, Jeff. We saw 42,000 comments on a single blog post. And the interesting thing...
That's insane.
It's a free
Wii Fit, man.
They want the Wii Fit. It's a hot, hot product. Well, but... So, I should note that... The server itself, Apache, died before Drupal died. Apache could not handle Apache couldn't handle the number of requests.
That's like Steve Austin lifting something so heavy, but like his bionic arm is intact, but his shoulder tears off.
That's right. Yeah, the weld joint. Yeah, whatever. So, obviously, Drupal was the right way to go for something like that. I mean, and I don't know if that's going to happen again. It probably will at some point where she'll say something or do something or get a level of feedback that I've never seen on any other, really on any website, not just blog, but any website. And I think that's where Drupal – Heather's always looked at her blog as more of a website than a blog. She's always approached it like that. So while it is personal and while she, you know, she tells stories about herself and her life, she views it as a website and an experience that when someone comes and visits, they need to be given a good experience. And I think the tools, I mean, she left it to me to decide what tools to use. And there's just very few things out there that can handle what Drupal can handle. I mean, you're looking at what, Vignette or something? I mean, Drupal, what is there? What is there after Drupal?
We burned so many cycles at my.com moving from cold Vignette. It was mind-blowing. I want to come at it from a slightly different angle, and this is like as recent as today's headlines. I struggle with this every day. It's a huge thing I talk to Ben about once a week, and it's me trying to figure out for myself, and not to like whatever, but like I don't want to have a blog. I want to have a blog, but I don't want to have just a blog. I want to have, and I'm not trying to make a portal. What I'm trying to make is a site that has a lot of
portal?
Really portal. What's a portal? It's a productivity portal. It's a pro-portal. I want to create a site where people come to see what I have to say about things. And the problem is a blog is a bunch of dated posts in reverse chronological order. Now, there's a million ways, even in WordPress. Like WordPress had this amazing, probably still has, this amazing plugin called Ultimate Tag Warrior, which is this crazy awesome thing for being able to tag the crap out of posts and make clouds and stuff like that. It's great, but you still have this basic problem of you've got a bunch of single content type items with facets represented by tags. Mm-hmm. And that's way more than most people need for a blog. In fact, if you've got more than 100 terms on your blog, well, you're probably me and you haven't been savvy about keeping that down. You don't need that. But if you're me and you want to say, you know what this is? This right here is my weekly column. And that's this kind of content type. And then over here is a blog post from a friend of mine. That's a different kind of content type. And then over here is this special video section I might make someday. And a video is a special kind of thing. And on You Look Nice Today, there are blog posts by the three of us. And there are episodes of the show. And an episode is a different kind. Do you see where I'm going with this? Mm-hmm. To do this in any other free, capital F free platform is not easy. I mean, you could basically, I don't know. You could take the amount of time it takes to get a master's degree to learn Mambo or whatever it's called now. It's called Joomla. It's Joomla. Is that what it's called?
Oh my God, we're not allowed to make fun of it on the podcast. I'm sorry.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. It's a lot of Chrome.
Feel free. I just need to keep it off me.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's a fine thing. And I think it's
Emacs. I want to give the illusion of objectivity. So
It's the Emacs to Drupal's VI. The thing is, in order for me to do that, I have to have more control over presentation and over really the way the content is defined. And you can't do that with a typical blog. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I think Merlin's onto something here, and that what I'm seeing for folks when they're moving to this platform is this sort of wide-eyed amazement as they start to do a little module shopping. I know we joke about, installing too many modules and what have you, but when you get to see what you can do and what blogging could become, and not just, like Merlin's saying, a reverse chronological list of the posts. That flexibility is something that I haven't seen as far as a blogging platform on the other ones. There's sort of accepting a notion of blog as a certain thing and sticking within that paradigm and being able to branch out from that, even just in an exploratory fashion, is one of Drupal's strengths, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. I mean, looking at the module list does get the imagination going, doesn't it? You think maybe down the line we could start plotting our posts on Google Maps. It's not about what we're necessarily going to do today, but maybe what we could do down the road. So,
yeah, just a whole bunch of flexibility in terms of, for Heather, it was about, I want to do three different types of photos every weekday. I want to have a generic kind of daily photo. I want to have photos of my dog. And then I want to have a style photo. Mm. And there was no way in any other of the platforms to do that. Now, it did involve some custom work. But there were some off-the-shelf modules, I believe, Ben, that we used to do some of that lifting, right? I mean, CC name views and plus there's custom fields in the GUI so that Heather can just go, okay, here's my thumbnail. Those images aren't in the database. Those are just calls out to images on an FTP or, on a server. Right. So she just enters the image information in fields. So her thumbnail and her main image for the day get sucked into the homepage template and then on the display page. It was amazing to see happen. And we really didn't spend, I don't think, that much money and time on it. Frankly, I mean, if you lived in 1998 or 1999 or even 2000, trying to do any of that stuff with the CMS was insane.
We would just sit there and have whole meetings about how we were going to do stuff in ColdFusion with one dump at 2 a.m. that would, take a bunch of content and spit it out and cache it. And I mean, this is what we thought about. And this is the paradigmatically interesting thing about this is you no longer,
I'm
you're
sorry,
constrained.
Did you just use the word paradigmatically?
Can I just drill down on this for a minute if you don't mind?
Yeah.
I
mean,
let's open the kimono wide open here.
Okay, listen, net. The thing that I think is really interesting about this is there was a time when the primary constraint, even really, we're all talking about, we all had jobs at this time. We know what it was like. I think Jeff was in a band at the time, so that doesn't count. But we all have had these jobs where the primary constraint was, how do we get this onto the web in a way that works? And what's so cool to me now, and you see this with these Rails apps, you see this with stuff you can do at Drupal or Joomla, is you come in and it's it's no longer about whether you can get it up. It's a question of whether you've got a really good idea and then can present it in a way that makes a connection with people. And to me, to put all this stupid BS about Web 2.0 aside, that is what is the really exciting idea at the center of this.
That was paradigmatic.
Oh, I hate you. I hate you so much.
I'm sorry, you just blown my mind. And so I'm going to just jump back in with another question here. So you guys are not really using the social networking capabilities of Drupal. I mean, they sort of touted it for its social capabilities, but you're not really using that on your sites, or are you? I mean, can users come to your sites? Do they need to log in to comment and stuff? Or how are you handling?
Not on Deuce. No, we've let anonymous users comment. Heather, I think, prefers to focus on writing and creating. So when you start doing users, there's a management level there that I don't think she's comfortable doing. Although that doesn't mean we won't ever do that. Just right now, that's where things sit.
Right.
But in order to sort of stop spam, and it's done a really good job, is reCAPTCHA. Yep. For comments.
Oh, yeah.
And yep. That, again, that's a Merlin. We saw that on Merlin's site. Like, Ben, we would like this also, please.
the Ben Durbin connection.
Yeah.
I can't believe how well that thing works. I mean, either somebody's not trying or it works pretty well.
And apparently it's when you enter in the words, it sends out the same words to multiple people, and then you're actually helping to do OCR on books. Like,
yeah.
I don't quite understand. You have to read the thing. Next time anybody who's listening, you see a reCAPTCHA thing, click on the little about thing, because it's fascinating. You're actually helping, like, I don't
libraries.
Know, convert the books with the Library of Congress or something generally good like that. So, yeah, good stuff. Yeah. So, you're not really doing the community.
To follow up on what you said, this is also a great opportunity for me to say one of the things that I did very poorly, horribly poorly, and that was I did a little bit of a mobile me, I think, which was that right before, around the time before our daughter was born, I went into this very heavy mode of, okay, here's the deal, Ben and I are going to put our heads down and we're going to like make this conversion happen, but as part of it, we're also going to move over from vBulletin, and we're going to move to Drupal for all of our community stuff. Mm. And we're going to introduce registration, and we're going to have guest posts, and I total mobile meet it, and like I did way too much first cut, and I didn't really think through. I hope this is the most self-involved thing I say all month, but I hadn't really thought through the extent to which 43 Folders should be my site primarily. And I think I dropped the ball on that. And I think as great as my guest folks were, I shouldn't have focused so heavily on what seemed like easy traffic. And to be honest, what seemed like a way to consolidate all this in a way that would be a unified experience too. I mean, a big part of what I wanted to do was, okay, here's related everything. Like, I want, you know, in order to bring that all in, it all had to go under the aegis of Drupal. So I totally ate the booger on that.
So you think too much too soon, or too much relying on user-generated content and really...
Well, I'm not a huge user-generated content guy. It would be more like, well, I'm going to be off the grid for 3 months, somebody else write my blog for me, which I don't regret doing. What I regret is, like, I took a pretty B-plus community of people and turned it on its head when I thought that Drupal's everything is a node philosophy would translate well to being a forum, because it does not. It was a piece of crap. And as much as we tried to make it better, it still looked like threaded comments on a blog. And, you know, it's one of those things you really need to go in and spend some time on. You know, setting aside the fact that moderation is its own job and should be its own job, and I was lax about that. The way that Drupal handles forum stuff is an abomination unless you spend some time with it. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. It can be made better, but yeah, I mean, certainly for people coming from vBulletin or PHPBB or whatever, you know, the first time you're like, "Oh, Drupal's got forums," and then you turn it on, and you're like, "Looks like a blog." With comments, and then
Well, you know what it looks like? It looks like one of those posts I don't read because it's mostly a bunch of dumb comments. Instead of being the experience of forums, let's be honest. For me, on 43 Folders, the forum stuff has always been a separate deal. I mean, there are people who hang out on the forum that could care less what I have to say on the site, and that's fine. No, I'm fine with that, but I wanted to bring that all under one umbrella, and in doing so without more due diligence, I burned a lot of cycles and basically ruined something good. So I regret that. I saw just really quickly, Jeff, isn't there some kind of hack you can do to have a really sweet looking forum that it's kind of off the reservation as far as Drupal goes?
Well, there's a couple of ways you can do it. I mean, we worked when we were working with Sony, we sort of looked at what they wanted to do with their commenting system. And there's been some debate in the Drupal community about, so everything in Drupal is a node, except for a couple of things. Users are not nodes and comments are not nodes. And the thing about a forum is it feels very much like the original post and the response posts are the same sort of level of content, right? And as opposed to a blog post where you have the blog post and then there's comments on it. A forum feels like an ongoing discussion where the comments are all sort of top level of importance. And so we worked with Sony, just mostly because of the things that they wanted to do on building a node commenting system. So you could actually use nodes to comment, which gives you a little bit more control over that kind of thing, and particularly around forums. And then there's been a lot of work done with extra bits and pieces that you can add on to the, you know, there's, I'm trying to remember the names of all of them now, but various things that you can add in that make it much more PHP BB-like. But yeah, I mean, out of the box, you know, if you break it down, it's like, what is a forum? Well, someone posts something and people sort of comment on it, but it just doesn't feel the same as a blog. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely out of the box, Drupal.
At least a way to like have the kind of typical metadata about the user is in a box on the side.
Yep. Yeah.
That would be a start.
Yeah, all of that can be done, but you have to sort of add them one by one, you know. You can do things like, there's a module called user badges, so you can give each user a different little badge. Maybe they're an administrator or a moderator or, you know, or they've posted enough posts. So you could have user points, which then works with user badges, but you really got to cobble it all together yourself. So that's, again, sort of one of Drupal, you look at all the modules and it kind of gets the mind, you know, excited with all the possibilities, but it's also sort of daunting to figure out which of those you actually need to do the thing that you want to do with 3,000 modules out there. So let's talk a little bit more about the migration for both of you and maybe pull Ben in a little bit more here. I mean, what was it like to move from, did you both do redesigns, with the move or was it, a one-to-one design thing or, what was that process like?
We did a redesign. Heather had wanted to do one, and we were holding off until we picked a publishing platform. So she redesigned in Photoshop. I took it, sliced it, did a CMS or CSS and HTML mockup, sent that to a theme guy, and he did that. And then Ben was our backend guy. So we did combine a redesign with the Drupal launch.
But you were able to actually sort of encapsulate it and send it off to a theme guy who sent you back a theme. That's sort of a nice thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's my expertise, and that's kind of my thing, is I'm a front-end designer person that way.
Yep.
We did the same thing. We did a re-everything. And just to credit where due, of course, Ben is the, you know, he's the reason for the season. But the actual look of the site, the design, was by Chris Glass, who's one of my favorite people in the history of the universe. ChrisGlass.com. He also does wireandtwine.com. And he's just so desperately gifted. And he just did this in a couple days, basically. And I still think it's beautiful. And then a fellow named, Rubel Theme is the name of the company.
We use him as well.
And he did all the kind of converting all the CSS and HTML into a template. With, I must add, the whole reason I wanted to work with his company was he's great at coming up with these themes that have a very large number of customizable blocks.
Yeah.
Much more, usually I think like 13 in one of his templates, which is super flexible. And that's all the stuff that's in the footer of ours is I think, a good use of what you can do with views combined with, you know, kind of dynamic content combined with some interesting theming. Ben, do you want to say?
No, that was it. You covered it. Yeah, Bill was fantastic. No, not at all. It was actually fairly smooth. The main thing that we had to account for was the fact that these were already popular and ongoing sites, and we needed to account for them just using their existing system while we were going through the development process. So, whereas there are some modules that do the imports from these various systems, what I found is that it was easier to have something that was sort of doing this grab all the new posts, wipe the dev database, and just programmatically sort of cycle that every now and again, so that as we were going through the development, they were seeing their newest content in situ in the new site as it was coming together as well.
And just as a quick side note, because Ben's too modest and I talk too much, is the other thing that Ben did for me that I think he does for anybody that hires him is Ben, like, first of all, got my house in order. Like, step zero was he did a complete backup instead of a staging environment. So, I mean, before, I mean, like, I hate to admit this now because I'm theoretically used to be a web developer. I would totally edit live on the server all the time and, like, I mean, you get stuff to do. And I would count on, the, like, my hosting company to keep decent backups that I would frequently have to call upon. But I didn't have anything like Subversion. I didn't have anything like a staging environment. We were not doing any pushing. And I got to say, like, it's not strictly Drupal, but, like, that's such a good idea. And it's made me so much more confident about our changes and knowing that they'll work.
So what are your like favorite things about Drupal now that you're on Drupal? Are you using a lot of the, Merlin, you're mentioning CCK and panels, and you guys use views, I assume, and that kind of stuff. Are there other little gems that you found?
I mean, CCK and views are, I think you guys have talked about this ad nauseum, but CCK and views combined is just mind-blowing. I mean, for people who haven't used Drupal before, it's basically like exposing a MySQL query and then theming it with caching. It's endlessly useful.
I think for what we do, the ability to let Drupal say, oh, wow, there's a lot of traffic over here on this page, but the homepage is fine. We'll cache the homepage, and then we'll just watch this other page get all these comments. Or I guess in Drupal terms, it would be Node. So the flexibility of that that's my favorite thing, is I call my host and say, I think we're having some issues. Yeah, it looks like your MySQL stuff is fine. PHP is fine. It's Apache that's having a hard time. That's all done. Like, yay, I'm behind Drupal now forever because of that.
Hey, so just so you know, John, Ben told me my problem with Apache was the, like, 5,000 hand-coded 301s I had in my HDX.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Every time I found, I'm so lazy and, like, so untalented that any time I found, I just go into transmit, I'd open up the file, and in TextMate, I'd add a new 301. Take care of it.
Oh, my God.
Well, full disclosure, the Lullabot folks were super helpful, and it was early days for me in Drupal when we first started doing these projects, and as far as the optimizations go related to the query caching and using APC for the PHP caching, it was super helpful to get someone just shortcut that stuff for us, because that, on sites of these scales, that's immediately important, as we found when we first threw the switch there on Merlin's site.
There's that joke about development in the second 90% of the project. It's like, we thought we were so close to done, and then we turned it on, and it was like, boop.
Well, that's particularly classic for Drupal, because you get so much, and you wire it together. I mean, you know, classically, we'll go into a client and, you know, sit down and talk to them about what they want, and we'll start sort of wiring things up, and we'll say, well, how about like this, you know? And, you know, by the end of the, maybe we're there a week or something, and by the end, they think, oh, this is great, we'll have this done by the end of the month. It's like, don't jump ahead. Let's just, you know, take it one step at a time.
One of the things I was talking with someone about Drupal is like an Italian sports car. You want to make sure you've got a steady hand and a great mechanic.
And you're not drunk when you get behind the wheel.
Correct. No influence.
Oh, Mamma Mia. Mamma Mia. I fall.
60 modules later.
Yeah. So what have you been your least favorite things about Drupal? Things that you particularly maybe missed about leaving your previous blogging platform?
I bet this one gets some high fives. I know they're trying to work on it, but the administration interface is pretty clicky. It's pretty clicky.
Yeah, there's a lot of click. I think that could be Jeff Veenerized. I think that would be a great thing.
Oh, I wish Jeff Veen had like half a day to work on Drupal. He could fix like 60% of Drupal in like 2 hours.
Yeah. Or Zeldman too. Come on. He's got a crew.
Yeah. No.
Yes. I like
it. I mean, do you guys agree? I mean, is that, and let's be honest, it used to be worse. But I mean, part of what,
100% agree.
I mean, and again, I understand why. The reason that Drupal is awesome at the core of it is because, again, why? Abstraction. There's rules. There's rules for how Drupal works. If you want to develop for Drupal, you have to follow these rules. You have to name things this way, and you have to do this, and your code's got to do this. And this is great. It's not, you know, well, I'm going to say a crack, but it's really for open source, and this is really, really good. And what that means, though, is that you end up, if you have a bunch of modules, if you're like me, I mean, you've got a scrolling admin page that scrolls and scrolls and scrolls, and, oh, God, if you want to do anything with a really large amount of anything, get ready for a lot of paging.
Yeah.
My God, there's so much paging. There's no, like, if you're trying to do anything with user management, I have to say, it's totally frustrating.
Well, it's the modularity of it, that each module, you know, in its advantage, I mean, it can create its own space. But on the other hand, sometimes you've got a separate settings page for every single little thing that, you know, you turned on, this thing that'll email you whenever anyone comments on the site. And that has one page. And then there's the comments page that, you know, where you set up what users can comment. And so that's another page. And then just trying to figure out where everything is.
Can I read you just a couple? So there's a section in there. What's nice is they finally did break this down into sections, and it's not horrible, but I want to read you some of the selections from an area called user management. This will just take a second. Access control, access rules, profiles, roles, users, and user settings.
I was just talking about this on the last podcast.
Okay. Well,
this has changed in Drupal 6. The first one is now called user permissions, which
That's better.
Yes. Then access. What is it? Access control? Yeah.
Access control.
Very
MCP.
Confusing. Yeah. It's baby steps, but they're in the right direction.
Yeah. Hey, Ben.
What else?
Hey, Ben, do you have any free time to migrate us to Drupal, the next version of Drupal then? Because sounds like that's what we need.
Yeah, actually, right. Ben, as long as you're on the line, you got a minute? Is that something you can do?
Yeah, because, you know.
For those of you who are thinking about hiring Ben Durbin, he's going to be apparently busy for the next few weeks.
No, just going back to the last point for just a moment, I think that's totally true. The thing that I find people banging their heads against most when they're migrating is that having to get a hold of that level of abstraction. It's Drupal's strength, but it's also something that just takes a little time getting used to when you're first using the admin interface. And whereas it's daunting at first, and it definitely there's room for it to improve as it is improving. It's one of those things that once you get a hold of it, you'll definitely start to be able to take advantage of the true power of Drupal and a bunch of modules put together to do something for you.
Are there any things that Drupal doesn't do for you that you would like it to do?
Write
better posts.
I'd like a better piece of toast.
Posts and toast. You know what, Jeff? You should write a module called Posts and Toast. Ben can help.
Yep.
Sure.
And it just maybe makes up. It takes random words from your previous post, maybe sentences,
right,
and puts them together to make sort of a. Have you ever seen that
James,
corporate ipsum? Maybe your own
from
your own site. So
I've got two. I'll toss out, and one's kind of Drupal specific, and one's kind of not. The not Drupal specific one. I am Mike Lee. I think he's the world's toughest programmer. Mike Lee has a wonderful thing on his site. He created called Allison. Have you guys seen this before?
No.
If you want to comment on one of Mike's posts, you go to a special page per post, and it presents you with something on the order of 7 or 8 sentences from his post, and you have to click the buttons that indicate 3 of the sentences that appeared in the post.
It's a quiz!
It ensures that you read the goddamn post before you start posting that comment. And I find it so elegant, partly because Mike is just a famous, like, he's famously a fun, interesting guy, and I love that. The other thing that I would love, do you guys remember when the whole kind of Howard Dean thing blew up and all that? What was that called, Jeff?
Dean Space was the Drupal.
Dean Space, and then there was that kind of that surge of interest in creating these things that would let you make your own little kind of, you know, mini-me version of a Drupal Howard Dean site. I would love to see, I've wanted this for years for movable type, and I don't even know if it's possible, but I would love to see something almost along the lines of a wizard, where you say, here's the kind of stuff I'd like to do, here's my level of expertise, here's the percent likelihood I think this will hugely grow, and you go, you know what, I am a teacher who has 10 students, and I want to make a site that I don't think will grow, and it just farts out a Drupal install with a likely number of modules that you need. You follow what I'm saying? But some kind of basically profile system for saying, based on what we know about you, I am going to have four bloggers on this, and we get this much traffic, it'll spit out an install release.
Yeah, sort of a Drupal distribution on the fly.
Yeah. I think that would be good, too. Like, I do not need community stuff off the bat, but maybe I want it later. Or, you know, I want to do – I don't want to do forums. I don't want to do blogs. I want to do stories and pages. And
I've said for a while now that the sort of saving grace of Drupal will be distributions. That Drupal, as you get it now out of the box, doesn't sort of realize its potential in any particular areas. And it would be really great if you could get – some distributions. I mean, there are some on Drupal.org, and I don't mean to belittle them at all. But yeah, so something like this, you know, where you could kind of get a real like jump start, you know, get a real, you know, push in the right direction where you get something that maybe has, you know, a lorem ipsum about page, already set up so that you don't have to go through all the trouble of figuring out how to do an about page and stuff like that. Yeah,
Similarly, speaking of the wizards, something that sat maybe on top of the advanced help module, I don't know exactly how this would integrate, but when you first start up and you've got that profile installation that's set up for a specific domain, then it just walks you through a bunch of things. Oh, here's, we're gonna create another user for you. Here's how you create your first post. Like you were talking about, this sort of template pages, and it, in a wizard-like fashion, just sort of guides you through those things. It's keeping track of all the things that you would want to do when you first got set up, and it's sort of walking you through them.
And you could come back to, like, if you needed to go and, you know, work or whatever, you could come back and, okay, well, now I'm going to walk through the community setup part, and that could be a separate thing.
Right.
I think that'd be terrifically useful.
Well, this all comes down to usability. I mean, I think what you're talking about is, like, you know, get some usability experts in to come up with some really cool ideas like that. And I know that there's been a lot of push in that direction in Drupal. In fact, there was just a... An analysis, a document that came out of University of Maryland, Baltimore, I believe. I need to get my facts. I usually have the other Lullabots on who have all the details of these things. And basically, it was basically a usability study came out. And I know Dries, who is the project lead for Drupal, has blogged that basically he's printed it out. He's put it up on his wall, and Drupal 7 is not coming out until he's able to check off everything on that list. And so, yes, certainly usability is important.
Yeah. I think that's – I was going to say this. I have a Drupal site that my wife runs. Then I have other sites that I've done with WordPress and movable type. Drupal is so much kinder to your server than really any other like off-the-shelf CMS. In terms of server load,
well, certainly
you're saying with aggressive caching.
Not even with that. Like, we don't have aggressive caching turned on. It's just normal. I mean, I could turn it on, but there's that little warning that says, you know, could break things. So I'm terrified. I'm not going to click that.
Well, like, we do especially like block level.
Oh yeah. Well, especially for sites like yours, where you don't have a lot of users logged in, just the normal page caching mechanism is pretty good because most of your users are anonymous users that really benefit from that caching level. So
yeah.
Cool. Well, let's start to wrap things up. Anything else that you guys want to touch on that I haven't gotten to?
I just, Merlin, you and I talked about Michael Anthony. I don't know if you remember, but
I do. I barely remember, but I do remember we drew some pictures and made a little bass clef. Yeah, I remember that.
Bass player from Van Halen. Van Halen,
right,
bass
player
with the Jack Daniels.
Right? Yeah, and he is the master of the quarter note bass line. I mean, it doesn't matter what song it is.
Dunk, 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 dunk,
yeah.
Dunk.
It's all about appropriateness, really.
Yeah. So if we could sort of find a way to get Michael Anthony in a room with Drupal, and maybe there's a module there. I don't know.
Minimal quarter note.
Yeah.
Quarternote.module.
I got to tell you, I hadn't thought of this at all, John, but I could see a lot of synergy between a Mike Anthony and a Drupal. I could see a lot happening because both they're very –
I think it could be paradigmatic.
Yeah. Yeah. I still hate you.
What about a Michael Anthony portal with social networking and also podcasting?
I think it's a terrific idea. But you call it a mortal. A mortal?
Mortal. Mike Anthony. Awesome. Mortal.
click to skip Jack Daniels bass.
All right. Well, we'll just
end on that note.
We'll end on that quarter note. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.